Hello and welcome to the Ordinary Church Podcast. This is a podcast about the church and for the church. I'm Connor, joined by Mike as usual, and we're excited to be with you today. Our topic for the podcast today is the truth about biblical submission. So, Mike, we're going to have a conversation about this and just kind of tease out some ideas, try to present on the podcast just some kind of concrete blocks to have in mind when it comes to thinking about submission. Mike, you can give your own context in a second. I was just going to say, this is obviously kind of a, I don't know, important and touchy topic, I would say. Very important. And then you have, you know, so much twisting and resistance to what the, you know, either of or what the Bible says, that I think this becomes something that can be a little bit of an interesting battleground as people kind of think about ideas. But I don't think that we want to get into battlegrounds necessarily, but just to present what does the Bible say about this. So Let me ask you, what kind of context would you want to give before we jump into some kind of concrete ideas here?
Yeah, when we talk about the truth about biblical submission, you know, it comes from somewhere. Obviously, so many times over the years, you know, I've been a privilege to be in pastoral ministry now for almost 40 years. 1985 is when I got started. And so March 17th, 1985, to be exact. And here's the thing. I have seen it over and over again where people express this. They get conflicted by competing affections or loyalties or allegiances where there's a biblical teaching and they want to follow it. And it's good for them to want to follow it. They should. And they want to follow Jesus. They want to follow the word. But then it takes a turn where there's a quandary. And this is where these questions come up. For example, a wife submitting to her husband, right? Ephesians 5:22. Or a child submitting to their parents, you know, Ephesians 6:1. Or mutual submission in the body of Christ with members of the body, Ephesians 5:21. Or a church member submitting to their elders. All of those kind of things, what happens is, let me give an example. A spouse who says, well, I need to submit to my husband. And then they start talking and you realize, wow, their husband is grievously sinning. And somehow the spouse has gotten the idea that that means I always must support my husband. I always must submit to him. I can't tell him the truth about what I'm seeing. And you get this really odd application of a biblical truth kind of gone wrong, the application gone wrong. You see it with men. I've seen men say the same thing, like, you know, my wife is doing this or that, but I need to love her. I need to protect her. I need to do this or that. And then they basically, they're saying they're going along with her sin. So, yeah, so that's kind of a contextual. I've also heard of situations where children are asked to do certain things by their parents that are not biblically right. And they're like, well, I'm supposed to submit to my parents. And it's like, okay, so that's where I want to go when I talk about the truth of biblical submission, at least for my part. Like, what the confusion when the affections are somehow put in competition with each other and somehow conflicted.
Yeah. And I'm just to summarize, you're saying basically a biblical authority figure who would have authority over you and you would be asked to submit to that person is maybe persuading you to do something that's against God's word. An example, maybe.
Yeah. I'd say, yeah, that as an example, but also that whole idea of mutual submission to one another in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Even when a friend will pressure a friend to go along with them.
Okay.
In some kind of sin or rebellion, seemingly because it's the right thing to do. I know that sounds kind of crazy,
right.
But I think if we kind of can tease that out a little bit and kind of like walk down that path, I think we would come to a pretty clear idea of the truth about biblical submission.
In terms of
what does it really mean to submit biblically?
Right. And I would add one more thing before we get into maybe some ideas here, which is just that I think a lot of these situations, I don't know, maybe this, I mean, it is happening, but it's not necessarily common that someone's tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, come sin with me. No one really wants to position themselves as the bad guy, or at least rarely. So inside the church, when you have people who are inclining you in directions that actually aren't healthy or biblical or helpful, I think a lot of times there's a front on that actually, no, this is the right way to approach this. It's not like people are saying, hey, come do this really bad thing with me. at least not commonly. I think life is more complicated than that. So maybe just worth mentioning. But with that, Micah, are there any kind of either principles or just pillars that you would want to mention in terms of the truth about biblical submission that we can stand on and work mm-hmm. from?
Well, one is you stay under God and His word. As a follower of Christ, you need to stay under God and His word and literally obey the word. So when you are called to submit, you need to make sure that that is the heart desire of that you are not just expressing, but also living. But I think what coupled with that is a discernment, like that you wouldn't get talked into everything, because you basically submit to what is good. Okay. Now, for example, we are told in Scripture to submit to governing authorities. But when they do bad or when they command evil, mm-hmm. we are not to submit. We are to obey God rather than man. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's that principle, kind of the Acts 5:29 principle, we're going to obey God rather than man, needs to be set in place, not over and against it, but right side by side with, I'm staying under God and His word. And you know how the Bible says, don't let a good thing for you be spoken of as evil? That you don't want to turn a good thing into a bad thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So your submission is to God first, and it's the human authorities or systems of authority in your life that sit underneath that submission to God. Mm-hmm. What else, Mike?
Well, I think we just have to kind of go through maybe some check downs here on what are some actionable responses that can kind of help us understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say this, if you're under God with biblical submission, you stay under the word, you obey, there's the heart desire, but also the action, but then you're discerning as well. Not that you're distrusting. I didn't say that, but that you're discerning, that you wouldn't get talked into everything, that you submit to what is good. Okay. So as far as you do what is right, people should submit to your right leadership. Okay. So what I would say is you have to stand with the truth, but also speak the truth. So you stand with the truth and speak it lovingly, like you don't stand with rebellion or sin. And I've seen it happen in couples. I've seen it happen in groups. If they don't self-correct, someone breaks out. If someone is misbehaving, and I've seen this happen with husbands and wives, where let's say a man will say, well, I didn't say anything to my wife, and then she went out, her sin broke out on someone else. Or a wife will say, I've got to stand by my man, or I've got to support him no matter what. And we're like, wait. So you're saying that submission to your husband means no matter what, you go along with him. What if he's robbing banks? Hmm. No, that's accessory after the fact. Okay, so no, you don't do that. But let's just say that a husband is sinning and being egregious and making some issues with people in the body. It is up to the wife in the context of their own home, in that subset of the body of Christ, to speak the truth lovingly. But what I think a lot of times a spouse will be talked down and said, you can't question me because you have to submit to me. Hmm. That's not biblical submission. Hmm. That is running roughshod. That is basically forcing the issue.
How would you encourage somebody in that situation? That's just a really hard spot to be in. If you're a wife in particular whose husband is pressuring you, you have to submit to me, even if the wife has these, like her radar is up that everything is not right.
Right.
We're
talking about a husband and wife who are to love one another and to mutually submit out of reverence for Christ. And then the wife is called to submit right there. Ephesians 5:21, mutual submission. And then 5:22, submit. And the husband's supposed to love his wife, and the wife's supposed to respect her husband, and all of that. You take that in consideration. But if you're telling me that there's a wife that's afraid of her husband, now we have a very unhealthy situation.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So if the husband is saying you must submit to me, and he's demanding it, we've already got other issues in play, and many times that gets, you know, swept under the rug and is hidden in a family system, and no one ever says anything about it. But let's say the wife does say something about it. I think that, let's say she goes to a trusted female biblical counselor friend or mentor and says, this is what I'm experiencing. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to my husband. I'm not perfect, but I'm not trying to be disrespectful. And he is really being, unfair with me. I think the first thing I would do is not try to interject someone else into the relationship, but interject truth into the relationship. And again, if someone is so afraid of their spouse they can't speak the truth, something's very, very wrong.
Right.
But for a wife to say to her husband, honey, you know, and they're not in the middle of a fight.
Yeah.
And she doesn't quote the person, say, so-and-so, when I told them to. No, you take the good thing you heard, speak the truth to your husband. See how that works. Honey, that's not biblical. That's not even right. And you're demanding something that's like not even fair. Like, do you know how that makes me feel? And try to talk things through.
Yeah.
Well, if they can't do that, there's some other safety issues probably in play right now.
Right.
Like, I'm just saying, in normal situations, what I've seen is many spouses, they kind of put their hands up and say, I can't deal with this. And then the spouse runs roughshod over others in the body of Christ. Mm. And I got to pinpoint that with, the truth wasn't being spoken in the home. I had a married man just say to me yesterday, I have, over the years I've been married to my wife, God has used my wife to sanctify me so much because my wife is pointing things out to me that are helping me not make a fool of myself and not be a fool to others. And so I think anyone in a healthy marriage relationship is going to tell you, it goes back and forth, not unfairly, but seriously, like, helping one another navigate life. And the same thing happens with parents and children. Same thing happens in elder groups. Same thing happens in healthy small groups. Hmm. Unless one person is running point and never letting someone talk.
Yeah. No, that's helpful. Yeah. What about just a different scenario? What if it's a person who's in the position where they ought to be submitting, but they're not wanting to submit, and yet the leadership is wise mm-hmm. and biblical? Is it appropriate to appeal to the position of authority to support what you're, mm-hmm. you know, asking that person to get in line with? So, like, could a husband appeal to his authority over his wife if there's a you know, conflict in their marriage, but he's asking her to do something that actually is wise and right? Should elders appeal to their authority when they have church members that aren't submitting, you know, joyfully to their leadership? Mm-hmm. Or would you be hesitant to play the, like, authority card, mm-hmm. if that makes sense?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say playing the card or bringing the card up is different than demanding the card.
Okay.
So let's talk about the difference between that. If a husband says, you must submit to me because I'm your husband, well, that's angry. It sounds angry. So I kind of addressed that with an angry tone versus saying, honey, do you remember I didn't make this up? The Lord has put me over this family in such a way that I'm going to be answering for this. Hmm. And you're making it difficult for me at times to do this. You know, because I think that almost every, someone said this to me once, every Christian wife thinks she's submitting until she's not. And they didn't mean that as a put down, but like, we do get off point sometimes. We do need to help correct one another, but not in harsh ways, not in unloving ways, not in the heat of the moment and all of that. And I would say, even like for a leadership of a church, you know, we go back to Hebrews 13:17 a lot, which says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Mm-hmm. Literally, the idea behind that is to be persuaded by their solid handling of scripture and their reasonableness to go along with what they're saying, even when you don't know all the facts, mm-hmm. right? For they are keeping watch over your souls. There's a spiritual, a trust that God has given them, okay? And at those who will give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I think Paul sets us a good example here, where multiple times he says to the people he's writing to, you know, I didn't choose to be in this position, but God put me here and I need to say what I need to say. And I love you doesn't mean I love you less.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, I think there's a place for it. I think tone and timing and, you know, all that helps.
And maybe it wouldn't be your first choice or your first method to go straight to the authority card.
Right.
You'd rather appeal. I think Paul, isn't there a place where he says, I could use my authority, but I'd rather appeal to you in love. Is it in 2 Corinthians? Right.
Yes, he did. But so, for example, he's saying, and by the way, you owe me your own lives.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, when he said that, he was doing that.
Yeah, okay, so
kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
You know,
a little
could go there, but I won't. Hint, hint.
Right.
Please be corrected by that. You know, and the Spirit wanted him to say it.
Right.
I think honesty. You know, I talked about standing with the truth and speaking it lovingly. You don't stand with rebellion. You don't stand with sin. Again, a couple or a group has to self-correct or they're going to break out on others. But you speak the truth. You don't speak lies. So if you speak the truth lovingly in a way that is not trying to hurt people, I think that that is right to do. I think that, you know, relationships have to be built on lovingly speaking the truth. Otherwise, it's going to break trust. There's going to be cracks in the foundation
when
you can't even see them. So there needs to be true trust in a relationship. But what do you do when there's a refusal to hear the truth? Right? Plenty of people are like, I'm not going to be ruled over by you, or you're not.
Yep.
You know, I don't trust leadership because my last church had an issue. It's like, okay, thank you for letting me know you're preloaded.
Right.
But I can't walk on eggshells around you, nor should I.
And to go back to the, just you said, when people won't hear the truth, sometimes I think it's the people who are in an authority position, maybe a husband, who'd be unwilling to hear the truth because they're so set on and kind of myopically focused on, I have this position of authority. Well, what if the wife is actually humbly bringing truth? A husband needs to be prepared to listen to that.
Right.
And I think a lot of times that's not the case. That could be true in a church level as well, although different, obviously. So, Mike, anything else that you'd want to add in terms of this, just this theme of biblical submission?
Well, I think one thing would be this: you every Christian needs to trust Jesus Christ and lean on the Word of God, the objective standard for truth. And when you get put into a quandary where someone is saying you have to choose me or choose the elders or choose me and choose the kids or choose me and choose these friends, somehow what they're really saying is choose me or choose Christ. Like they're literally standing between you and Christ, because we never commanded to do that in Scripture. So the idea that you're going to get, you know, you're going to get put in quandaries where, for example, a husband's going to say, well, I know my wife is acting up and I know she's hurting others, but I'm counting the cost and it's too difficult for me to face that. So I'm just going to consider myself more important than others and let her keep doing that, instead of saying, honey, do you realize how many other women you've hurt with your words? I've had men tell me before, I don't correct my wife. I decided a long time ago I wasn't ever going to correct my wife. Well, tell me what kind of wife they have. You go ahead and tell me that.
I can tell you that she's going to be kind of unsubmissive and, maybe not very self-controlled.
And prickly with others, right?
Yeah.
And making trouble with others. And so it's like, wow, you know, God designed it that relationships are to be close and trusting and loving. And if we can't speak the truth to those closest to us, like, for example, your kids, Isla and Owen, if they grow up and they start, you know, saying, Dad, you know, you're wrong. Dad, you're crazy. Dad, we're not going to listen to you. If you do not correct that in your home, first, you're going to jeopardize your own eldership, your own, you know, your own leadership. You're going to jeopardize your own leadership in your own home if you abdicate that responsibility and don't do what the Scriptures say. Just read through Proverbs. You know, diligently discipline your son while there's hope. Like, you're going to save his soul from lots of troubles. So there's the place of, you know, it's interesting that the person in the place of authority, if you will, that is the people are called to submit to them. There's a very high calling from God and a very weighty responsibility and a stewardship that must be taken very soberly. Because if we neglect to discipline our kids in an appropriate way, or we neglect to correct our spouse, and by the way, wives that are listening, that means that you should respectfully speak into your husband's life when he is, when you, as far as you can tell, he's being sinful or angry or rude or whatever, and expressing that about you or other people. And if there's fear, you know, it's interesting that it even Peter, I think, says, don't be afraid with any fear, wives. Like, even if your husbands are disobedient to the word, like, don't be afraid. You should not be afraid of your own spouse. If so, you got a lot of other problems that need to be, probably you need help with from others.
And maybe to a husband who's listening, I'd say it's your responsibility to cultivate a relationship where your wife feels the freedom to just to bring what she's seeing. And not that, I mean, I think in a healthy marriage that's happening, but I think it's the husband's responsibility to cultivate that.
Yeah. I had a friend who just recently was telling me about a situation where he tried to share with another friend how the friend was really being egregious and sinful, and the friend didn't listen to him.
Hmm.
And he juxtaposed that with saying, you know, I once went to a church leader that I thought had done something wrong. And I went and appealed to this church leader that was, you know, much older than him, but he did it in a respectful way. And the church leader wasn't defensive. He said, you know, you've got a good point there. And actually, the church leader corrected it by sending something out to the whole group that had been affected and said, you know, upon further reflection, I shouldn't have allowed that.
Hmm.
It wasn't anything big, but it was big enough where this guy felt like he needed to say something. But it marked him. He said, wow, I have a friend my own age who won't listen to me.
Hmm.
And I have a man much older than me that was willing to be reasonable, and he was a leader in the church.
Yeah, appreciate that so much. Yeah, praise God.
What a humble man.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much. When you were talking a second ago, I had a thought that's escaped me, so I want to kick it back to you again. Any other paths you want to go down or things that you want to bring up right now?
I think for now, I would just bring up one more thing.
Okay.
Okay, and then I'll be done with my interaction on this one. But it's a big topic. It's a big topic. But besides standing for the truth and speaking it lovingly and trusting Christ and leaning on the word, I would also say this. Just be willing to take the consequences of doing the right thing.
Hmm.
And you do the right thing and you speak up, you may be rejected. You may be ostracized. You may be pressured. You may be manipulated. And I would just say that if you're conflicted by sinfully being divided between two parties, whether it's God and another person or a person and a person, just realize that as you stand and speak the truth and really lean on the word and lean on and trust Christ, you're going to probably have some consequences of doing the right thing that are not always really comfortable.
Hmm.
That maybe, you know, you're reviled for, as Peter talks about, you're reviled for doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And just know that you're blessed in that setting, even though it hurts.
Hmm.
But I think it's always right to submit to authority that is not being sinful. And not that you judge it that way, but there's an objective standard of what is sinful. Not that you just, you know, say, oh, I don't like it, and so I don't like the way they talk or the way they look or whatever. But no, but being rational about it and being honest and just saying, you know when it's right or when it's wrong.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know when you're pushing the limits of what's right or wrong.
Right. No, I think I appreciate what you're saying. I do feel like it's kind of like what I was saying at the beginning. It's usually not somebody saying, come and sin with me, but it's these subtle social pressures that develop, you know, especially in a group. You can imagine it in a little Bible study or a fellowship group or a home group. And, you know, suddenly something starts to get in the water and there's an unsettledness or kind of a, you know, maybe divisiveness or a lack of trust toward the leadership or whatever it may be. And it's like, it's the easiest thing in the world to just not say anything and go along with what's happening. And it's difficult, you know, and it would, there'd be cost to calling it out. It's just, no, it's not easy to do that, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a setting among friends to be the one that speaks up and says, hey, we shouldn't be doing this right now.
Right.
That's not easy. You know, it's not easy when you're in fifth grade and it's not easy when you're 50. So, I appreciate what you're saying to kind of count the cost, but say, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to do what I think is right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen both ways. A number of years ago, there was a group that was causing some issues in their church. And someone came to me and asked me my advice. They said, I've got my group that's really doing some harmful things, nefarious type things. What do I do? I said, well, count the cost. And you need to, first of all, think about who your friends are. Bad company corrupts good morals, as Paul said. And then think about telling the truth to this group. And you probably should consider not being in that group. The other thing that I've seen happen is people telling the truth and being loved for it and hated.
Hmm.
Being ostracized, kicked out, or just, you know, cut off. Or actually saying, thank you for telling me the truth. So I think, you know, the Lord knows and he knows what we need and he knows how it's going to work out.
Yeah, that's good. One more thought and I think we'll bring it to a close. But it came back to me what I was going to say. I was thinking that it's the stretching, more painful moments in life that reveal the quality of the relationship in an authority structure. Someone who's at our church was telling me recently that the hospital they work at, they did like an earthquake test. and the results came back and it was like, not amazing. So I think until a more difficult season of life comes, it might appear that things are healthy in a marriage or in a church in terms of the submission of the flock to the leaders. But then these more painful times come and it can reveal these subcurrents that have been kind of beneath the surface and, you know, not revealed. So I guess, you know, I mentioned that just to say, I think in the more peaceful times that God grants, that's the time to really build up, you know, a solid, healthy, loving, appropriate relationship between the person in authority and the one who's called to submit, so that that can be something that's joyful and not a pain point when the hard times come as well. So, yeah. Mike, anything else for me before we wrap this one up?
No, I just think this is something that we should all be praying about, thinking through, and processing in a healthy manner with those we trust. And don't get in an echo chamber. It's easy to get in that echo chamber and stay in it and only hear kind of what we want to hear or what's the path of least resistance. So I want to stand with the truth, want to lean on Christ and speak the truth lovingly.
Yeah. 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 That's great. Listeners, thank you for sticking with us today, and hope this is an encouragement to you. Until we talk to you next week on the podcast, hope you have a great day, a great week, and God bless you.